FIFA needs a profound restructuring. Although the members of FIFA have given me a new mandate, this mandate does not seem to be supported by everybody in the world of football. The supporters, the players, the clubs, those who inspire life in the world of football as much as we do at FIFA. And this is why I will call an extraordinary congress and dispose of my function. It will be held as soon as possible, and a new president will be elected to follow me.
It's great for football. It's great for football worldwide. It's great for football here. We could never sort out FIFA. FIFA would never get sorted out while he was there. And it is a deeply flawed, possibly corrupt organisation that needs, you know, needs a lot of work. And that wasn't going to happen while he was there.
I think those voices, Sepp Blatter was through a translator, and the FA chairman, Greg Dyke, on the Blatter resignation. Simon Hill's been right across this for a number of years. He's from Fox Sports. We love his work. And he's joined us on Melbourne's Home of Sport. Good on you, Simon. You must be a very happy man today.
Yeah, it's the start, excuse me, of a long process, I think, but it's a start. The fish stinks from the head down, and we needed to get rid of Sepp Blatter. Thankfully, today he's gone. Now comes the tricky bits. We've got to try and put processes and structures in place that will reflect the world game and all its stakeholders. But it's a good day after many, many dark days in the recent past.
I think the most alarming thing from an outsider's perspective, Simon, is that he got re-elected. Does that happen?
Well, that's what I'm talking about in terms of the structures. I mean, you know, on the surface, FIFA is the most democratic organisation in the world. It has 208 constituent members, and each of them have a vote. The problem is that a lot of them are controlled by their regional presidents, the confederation presidents, who are allied to head office. For example, Issa Hayatou, who is the chairman of CAF, the African Confederation, they delivered their votes en masse to Sepp Blatter, and that's 54 votes. So it was always going to be a struggle to get an alternative candidate up. And of course, you know, we mustn't forget that Blatter has, through the power of patronage, and I'm talking money here, it delivered those votes into his own hands through the FIFA Gold Program. Now, I'll just give you one small example. You might not be aware of this, but the Dominican Republic, okay, not exactly a huge name in world football. They've never even qualified for the regional tournament. Small country, basic football infrastructure. They have benefited to the tune of over $2.5 million since 2001 for various projects, academies, the training of coaches, etc., etc. Now, to be fair, a lot of that money does good work. You know, kids will play on better pitches. They get football kits, basic items such as boots and balls. But, of course, with that comes the expectancy that they will then vote for Blatter at the presidential election. So, you know, that's what we talk about, kickbacks. They don't necessarily have to be of a financial nature, but of course, you know, it helps when FIFA's tipping in $2.5 million into your coffers. So these are the tentacles that have stretched out over the last 17, 18 years under Sepp Blatter's reign, and why we need a more open and transparent system to decide these, you know, not only the big roles within FIFA, but big tournaments like the World Cup of 2018, 2022, which again, you know, was hugely influenced by money.
So, Simon, Sepp Blatter steps down after just 4 days. Prince Ali. Now, we were all cheering for him in this country. Now, he said, "I've had enough after not getting enough votes." In this new dawn, I guess, is there any chance that we can get Prince Ali into the right place, the place where we want him to run FIFA?
Well, personally, I'd like to see him stand again because I've interviewed Prince Ali on a couple of occasions. I think he's a great man. I think he's a very honest guy. He does some very good unheralded work with his Asian football project. Doesn't seek publicity for it. But I think what you will probably find is that Prince Ali will be more in the background for the next presidential race because he was essentially put up as an alternative candidate by the Europeans, whose top man, Michel Platini, didn't want to stand in the last election because he knew he had no chance of winning. And to do that, to stand, of course, would mean giving up his UEFA presidency. So, you know, this was a tactical ploy in many ways, although I'm not saying they didn't want Prince Ali to win. They did. But I think you'll probably find that Michel Platini will come under increasing pressure to stand next time around. There may be others as well, some of whom stood in the last election, Michael van Praag, Luis Figo, perhaps David Ginola, I see, has put his name forward already. It's about finding the best candidates that can defeat the other side of the equation, if you like. And don't forget, Blatter remains president for the moment. So he remains in charge of the agenda. And interestingly, I think if you listen to the words of his speech today, nowhere in there is the actual word resignation. He doesn't mention it. He talks about laying down his mandate and stepping down. Now, I think he'll use this time between now and whenever they get together, the extraordinary Congress in December or March next year, to try and get one of his henchmen in place. My bet would be that Issa Hayatou, the head of the African Confederation that I've already mentioned, a staunch ally of Blatter, or even perhaps Sheikh Ahmed from Kuwait, who's another close friend of his, might be put forward as a candidate. And those are the guys that the reformers will have to beat.
Simon, thank you so much for your insight. We really appreciate it. We'll catch you another time.
Cheers, guys.